You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 175 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Horse Radio Network. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're learning more about Blue Dahlia Equine with Sarah Lloyd and Haley Brush. Then we meet with our adoptable horse of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations' Bridget Heasley. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York. And you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, am I allowed to say that I'm pissed that I have not had my lesson yet?
Oh, wait, what? It's been like weeks. What happened?
It was actually my fault. I had to reschedule this time because my childcare decided to have the audacity to get sick.
Oh, well, that's annoying.
No, it was annoying. I mean, I was pretty bummed about it, and I did mope around the house for a while, and poor Zach had to deal with it. He's like, I feel guilty. It was like, it's fine. I'll just be sad in this corner, and now this corner. But it's
Come
okay.
On, Zach. It's been so long since you've been able to, you know, have like a, you know, a lesson, so.
I know. I have it scheduled for listeners who are listening. I will have had the lesson, hopefully. I keep saying that. Hopefully.
Maybe you should stop saying it. Maybe that's the problem.
I know. Let's be pleasantly surprised. So tune into our social, I guess, if it happened or didn't by the time you're listening. But it should be this Friday if the stars align. I did have our nanny actually come for it this time. So I was like, you're not sick, right? She's like, no, I'm not sick. I was like, okay. And you don't have anything going on in your life? She's like, no. And I was like, great. You're going to show up on Friday.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed that everything aligns for you.
I almost had a snag because going back to previous conversations, remember we talked about building our farms?
Mm-hmm.
I finally have a perk test scheduled.
Ooh.
Which was the hour before my lesson. I was like, we will go plant flags and I will not be there for you. Because I'm not canceling my lesson.
They don't need to be like supervised for that, right?
I don't think so. Oh. I hope not. Because I feel like I'm not the expert in the situation.
Right. Yeah, we need to add a segment at some point of like building the farm with Kristen and Joy.
Yes. We have four potential sites now. Well, I'm really excited for that. And it's very cute if the one that I want works out, because then we'll have this cute little like trail from our house to the kids' grandma and grandpa's house. And like, grandpa's already excited enough where he's like going to put out little like fairy lights and things to make it a cute walk.
Oh my God.
They can't crawl yet, by the way.
Well, you know, he's just getting ready. That's fine.
Yes. But it's like through a very cute grove of trees. And then there's like the sheep pastures on both sides, so like little animals will be like watching them.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah,
that's much nicer than ours. Like I've walked back and forth to my mother-in-law's, you know, because it's a similar deal as yours, right? Like we have my mother-in-law lives across the field from us, and it was a cornfield last year, and it's going to be a cornfield again this year, and then hopefully that is the last year it will be crops and we'll get it into pasture. But walking across a cornfield, like they don't combine here, they like run a corn picker through it. So the picker just rips the corn off, and then there's like a husk and a stalk that's kind of crushed down, which sounds fine until you go to walk like perpendicular to it. And then you have to be like kind of like going over these like sawed off half up stalks. And you're like, I'm fine. And then inevitably you hang a toe on one and you're like, well, boom, and you just fall down. So, I have not fallen, but I've gotten close. My mother-in-law has fallen, I think, twice. To be fair, she falls down a lot. Like she's just a bit of a faller. but I was like, okay, we need to figure out, like, once this is pasture, where to install gates so that we have a straight shot and don't have to go, like, to the road and then down and then back up a long driveway. So, yeah, your way sounds much nicer.
Well, if that one works out, if this fails, the perk, because, of course, we did the topography of the land. There's one section that is not in a flood zone A.
Oh, dear.
Or wetlands.
Oh.
Oh. Our builder's not optimistic. And I'm like, listen, we're going to make this work because I have a vision and I need it to happen this way. But if it doesn't, our backup property is directly across their drive. It's kind of like a long access road type of thing. So I'm going to say across the street, but that's not what I mean because it's not an actual street.
Yeah. So like, you don't have to worry about the kids getting whacked by a car. Like,
no. Yeah. No. So that's the other.
Is it that long drive that was like kind of along the lake?
Yes.
That went like it went somewhere, but like nowhere that we went.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So like very well parked is where our backup property is.
Oh, that way. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want that space because I don't want to be looking into my in-laws' house.
Yeah, fair.
That's okay. We'll do what we got to do. Regardless, I'm excited for us to like talk about all the farm adventures because we do have the horse shelter up, the first horse shelter anyway. That's already there. And then we're planning like pasture regeneration for this fall. So hopefully it's ready for next year.
Super. Yeah, we might be on parallel tracks again. How
so
exciting.
How do we keep doing this? I don't know, but if you win the lottery, I'm going to be super excited to build it or like go buy a ticket.
Yeah, seriously. And, you know, vice versa.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Well, how are your horsey adventures?
I mean, kind of non-existent right now. They're, doing like right. Yeah. Yeah. For as much as you've been putting off your lesson, I just am putting off my horses getting sound. So we talked about this a little bit last time, I think with Shannon, you know, about like, cause I feel like I'm on a now parallel track with her and that kind of like lameness abscess thing that was coming and going with her horse, but not really going anywhere. So I think Jobber has a stone bruise that is just really slow to work out, which bruises can do that. So he's actually improving. So I'm like cautiously optimistic. I don't know what is going on with Shorty because his right hind has been bothering him for a while. And then the left front, like the diagonal pair kind of goes out from time to time and he'll be like dramatically lame on that one. And then I'll treat that a little bit and then it goes away, but nothing ever blows. So I don't know what's going on with him. I looped my vet in again and she's like, let's pull another lime tighter. So we're going to do that next week and see. And I have a vet appointment scheduled for them at the clinic, but that's not until early June because they're booked out so far. But, you know, like neither of them are on death's doorstep. So it wasn't emergency, you know, where I was like, no, you have to get me in. Like they're fine. They're functioning. Mm-hmm. They're just not sound enough to do anything. So kind of a very quiet spring. You know, like I thought last spring was quiet because we weren't prepping for any horse shows. And I was like, this spring's even quieter because I have not put a saddle on a horse in weeks. So right now we just have three big expensive pets, but that's okay.
Yes.
It's just a very different kind of horse keeping.
Well, it doesn't help that it's also been just wet.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any foot things going on, like the wet, dry cycle does not help. Like we know that. We've talked to, you know, hoof people in the past. Like that is a challenging cycle to get out of. So I'm just trying to be patient. And pretty soon in a couple of weeks, they'll be turned out on grass. So the footing will be a lot softer. So if there are some foot sensitivities, that should help them get to the point where they're not having to limp all the time, you know, and then the foot can toughen back up again. So that's what we're hoping for. We will see. Stay tuned. Not a whole lot to see right now.
No. Not hopefully the most compelling time this episode airs.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping. I was like, you know, because we recorded this in a couple segments, and I was like, let's hold off because maybe by the time we record this again, I'll have some updates. And it's like, nope, nothing's changed. It's been a week. We're still the same. So, you know, and like it's always like a series of like other dominoes that have to fall into place too. So I was like, I really need to get these horses up because Shorty goes up for an eye exam anyway, and Jobber goes up to get his like tumor lumps and bumps poked at. And I was like, yeah, I mean, they need to get up regardless, which means to back that up another step, I need to get my trailer inspected and the brakes and the tires looked at. And it was a good thing I did that first because it ended up needing three new tires and I think a new brake caliper somewhere and, you know, just general maintenance, which I always like to do because it does spend a lot of time sitting. I don't use it like every week. So that's all done. Another $1,500 in the hole for all that. So now at least the trailer's ready. The truck's making a bit of a funny noise, but seems to be working. So knock wood. I think I'm just going to go ahead and go with that. We'll see. Just something making a funny squeak, but nothing too serious. So, you know, it's just all these other things have to fall into place before you can just throw them on the trailer and go to be safe, because I do go 2.5 hours one way to get to a vet clinic. So
yeah,
that is the perils of living in a, you know, less affluent rural area, is we don't have equine clinics with all the diagnostic tools like at our beck and call. So for you folks that live in those areas, yeah, it's one of those things that's very easy to take for granted, but you will miss it if you ever move away. So
very true.
Yeah, use those vets if you have them. So, yeah, just one of those springs where I'm like, ah, horses, how fun. So,
yeah. Oh, well. But, you know, someday, at least it's not dark outside.
Right. They're nice to look at. They seem happy when they're grazing. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We'll have our horsey stories at some point, sometime soon. Hopefully it won't be the end of summer. That's what I'm putting out in the universe for both of us.
Right.
But if anything, we have farm development adventures. Excited to continue to follow your journey with the house. I know that's really where your focus is right now. I have to just find out if I can even put anything onto my wetlands that I now have.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to work that in. Like, yes. Take listeners into a deep dive of, like, a perk test. This is why you want to get one or have to get one, you know, so.
Or how do you develop pastures on land that's technically in a flood zone area?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting pickle.
Yes. So we'll keep everyone posted if I find it's going to actually happen. More to come. But speaking of more to come, I'm excited about this episode because it's a new aftercare group and they're in my backyard and we are becoming, like, internet besties. I actually purchased lessons from them for Zach for his birthday present coming up. So you'll get some horse husband content as well with him learning how to ride again. But we're going to hear from Blue Dahlia Equine. Very excited. They're such great people. And it's nice to see a continuation of people wanting to get involved with aftercare because we've shared it on this show. It can be really daunting. To be in it, it's not for the faint of heart. So to see a new one come forward is super positive. So looking forward to learning more about their program. And of course, having Bridget on, always great training tips. And our horse is super fun. You're going to love his name. Before we get into all that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Is your horse a hard keeper or a performance horse who needs to gain weight but stay calm? Is he a senior horse who can't maintain his weight? Do you have a mare or stallion that you want to keep in top breeding condition or a growing horse predisposed to orthopedic issues? Equine nutritionists recommend the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is formulated with all-natural ingredients that are high in healthy fats and fibers and low in starch. It helps to maintain weight on hard-to-keep horses and horses with elevated energy demands, such as equine athletes, brood mares in early lactation, breeding stallions, and growing horses. To learn more, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, I'm so excited to introduce our guests for this episode. We have Sarah Lloyd and Haley Brush joining us. And we're going to be talking about a new aftercare program that Sarah's put together, and it's called Blue Dahlia Equine. I'm super thrilled because it is in my backyard. I feel like we're kindred spirits and I can't wait to like support and hype you guys up all the time, but so excited to share you with our listeners. So welcome to the show, Sarah and Haley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Sarah, I'll start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what is Blue Dahlia Equine and what was your inspiration for it?
Sure. So Blue Dahlia Equine is a nonprofit organization that I founded dedicated to responsible thoroughbred aftercare. We focus on retraining, rehabilitation, and rehoming of thoroughbreds or any equines in need. And in terms of the inspiration for me to found Blue Dahlia, I came across a thoroughbred a couple years ago and the Retired Racehorse Project, and I just fell in love again with the breed. I had had a thoroughbred when I was younger, and a horse showed him when I was an early teen, and really hadn't been involved in the thoroughbred aftercare industry at all since then. And when I went to the Retired Racehorse Project in 2022, I just found the most supportive group of people and really just fell in love with the breed again. So I knew immediately that I wanted to get involved and figure out how I could support and help the breed going forward.
I love that. And for those who might be long-term listeners and recognize Sarah's voice or name, she was actually interviewed at that makeover for our 2022 makeover recap episode. And she was so fun to talk through. You have so much passion for the horses. So speaking of wanting to help out OTTBs, you're taking that mission forward. Are you looking at taking any of these horses to the RRP this year? Or what is your hope for the ones you currently have?
So I received my first two thoroughbreds for the program in February. And both of them are very unique. Both of them are RRP eligible. The one that I have in the gelding, Goldini, is super cool. He's got such a great brain, and I think he would be phenomenal to take. And Merlin, the mare, she's a little bit younger and she's going to be a little bit more challenging, but she's also got a really cool story. And I think she would be a lot of fun to take as well. I internally I'm struggling a little bit because the mission of the program is to help find them new homes and help adopt them out. So I don't want to be selfish. If I can find a perfect adopter, they will go. But if they stay with me through the summer, I absolutely will take one of them.
I think that's really the mission of the RRP at the end of the day, is what's the best thing for the horse, right? Like whether it's the right discipline, right competition. But truthfully, it's how do you give them the best future? So I think that is very admirable on your end. You mentioned they both had interesting stories. Tell us a little bit more about these two horses and how they ended up in your program to kickstart it.
So I was very fortunate to have the support of another Michigan local nonprofit, Serenity Oaks. And they brought these horses into Michigan, and I had reached out to them just looking to get some insight and, you know, any help as I was starting to launch the program. And they had these two horses available and were able to transition them over to my program. And it's been a phenomenal support group for me. Like Nicole Page is the founder of Serenity Oaks, and she's been a great mentor to me thus far. And Goldini is a warhorse. He's 8 years old. He gives me that old soul vibe, he's just a really cool horse who wants to please. And he's very brave. He's probably been one of the easiest thoroughbred restarts that I've had to date. Like he's just been very chill and very, 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 very willing to just try anything. He wants to be a good boy. And Merlin is a beautiful mare. She's gray. She's younger, but she retired off the track with a bow tendon and then also is blind in her right eye. So she's a little protective of herself and wants to be, a little more cautious and hesitant. So I think that one is definitely going to take some time just to gain trust, and Haley and I are going slow with that one. So they both have really cool backgrounds and they're both really fun horses to have the initial two in my program.
I love that. I also love the fact you didn't take what I would consider like the first easy adoption horse. Sometimes you'll see that smaller groups or startups like yourself will take the quick wins, the big bay geldings who are young and maybe slightly raced or unraced, and they're easy to push fast through a program. You're bringing on horses who do need that extra care, not necessarily because of a rehab stance or anything like that, but they would be overlooked traditionally with just a quick ad, and you're able to give them more of a story. I think that's really phenomenal.
You know, I think for whatever reason, I always find those horses. And I think truly with Blue Dahlia Equine, those are the horses that we really can support, are the ones that might be a little bit more difficult to place. And that's really where I want to focus our energy is helping find these horses a home and a future, whatever that may be. And in working with the thoroughbreds and especially going to the RRP, it really made me realize that there are so many disciplines that these horses can be successful in, whether it's liberty work or if it's the hunters or whether it's some form of Western or competitive trail. And so every horse can find a home. And even the most difficult ones, I think, as long as we take the time and we put that foundational training into them, I think they can be successful, just making sure that they find the right place to land.
Love it. Well, you mentioned that Haley's helping with the training. Haley, tell me a little bit about your involvement in this program and how you got involved with retraining thoroughbreds.
Well, this is actually my first like off the track adventure. So I've known Sarah for a while now. You know, we grew up in the hunters and stuff like that. And so when I created my own business, and, you know, got a farm and everything like that, she reached out to me and told me she wanted to teach the thoroughbred she had at the time how to jump. So, you know, we kind of got together, she started boarding with me, and then, you know, we ended up rehoming that one. And she was always talking about, you know, the nonprofit that she wanted to do. And then, so we eventually kind of got together and decided like, we're just going to do it here. You know, I did a lot of the hunter jumpers and stuff like that. But I definitely, being in my own business, I wanted to take things a lot slower with horses because, you know, in my old programs and stuff, they got to get in the ring. They got to go do this. They got to get, you know, priced higher and stuff like that. And I always liked to take things a little more slow. And so kind of with that mindset and Sarah's vision, we kind of meshed really well. And we've been, you know, with these thoroughbreds, we've been having a really fun time.
I like this, you know, like kind of cooperative, you know, kind of atmosphere that you guys have built, you know, not only with each other, but Sarah, you know, you mentioned working with Serenity Oaks, which, you know, I'm familiar with that program, I think through ASPCA Right Horse. I believe they're a Right Horse partner, but are they a thoroughbred specific organization?
I believe so. Yes, they are. Okay. Primarily thoroughbred aftercare.
But it's helpful though, to have that network. Like I think, you know, a lot of people assume that like the aftercare organizations are in competition with each other, which I don't think is true at all. You know, I think in general in horse rescue, you know, which is not necessarily the same as aftercare, right? Like they're different worlds. You know, if horses are responsibly rehomed through aftercare organizations, that's not the same as a rescue situation. But I do find there's so much more networking among these organizations, even though, you know, at the end of the day, like, yes, you may be competing kind of for like a similar pool of donor dollars, but generally everyone in it just wants what's best for the horses, which I think is great. So, you know, like what's been your experience with, you know, networking to make this happen versus like just you kind of going it alone?
I think in general, the experience launching and starting out and figuring out the way of the world of nonprofit has been a wild ride to say the least over the last 6-8 months. I really, you know, did a lot of networking and research prior to taking any horses in. And, you know, there are a lot of, I mean, unfortunately, there are some nonprofits out there that aren't on the up and up. And I really wanted to make sure that I was doing the right thing and both by the horses and by any donors or grant funding. And so I did, I think, working with Serenity Oaks and reaching out to them, they were incredible. I literally just reached out to them and said, hey, can I stop by and have a conversation with you? And they were so open to bringing me under their wing and providing me with information and different resources to look into. So I've found that generally any time that I've done that, when I reach out to a group or just anybody in the industry, everybody wants to be incredibly helpful. And so I really do think that I love the collaboration that I'm finding in the thoroughbred aftercare world.
Well, and I'm glad that that was your takeaway at the makeover as well, you know, of like everyone really is just there for the good of the horse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what brought me into it, like myself as a competitor. And then, of course, you know, as an employee of the RRP for many years after that, you know, that was enough to kind of like keep you riding the high, you know, for the rest of the year of like, okay, but like we were doing good work, you know, like I could tell at the makeover, everything was going great. So yeah, I'm glad that, you know, that helped inspire, you know, I don't think I can take credit, right, of like, oh, that's the thing that inspired you. But I mean, certainly that kind of collaborative networking, you know, team spirit mentality at the makeover is something special that I don't think anybody could have predicted. Like, that's not why that show became a thing, but it's definitely like what's kept it going. So
yeah, 100% agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wild.
So what I wonder, Haley, is this is kind of your first round with thoroughbred retraining, what have you found different between the off the tracks compared to the horses you're typically training?
What I find different is just getting them out and brushing them and just interacting with them is so much more helpful to just get them to remember, or not even remember, to learn how to be an actual horse. Just, you know, one day they'll tell me that they're not feeling it. And so, okay, we're not feeling it today, but just taking that such a slow process and not feeling guilty, not working them more or pushing them more, has really been not eye-opening, but it's been a great relief to be like, okay, these ones are not, they're fried, you know, from the track. So it's okay if today's not a good day, I can just, you know, put them back outside and we'll retry tomorrow. So I've had a really like fun time listening to them and really learning, you know, what's too much for them at that point, and then we'll just try again tomorrow. So I've really enjoyed, you know, listening to them more.
That's like such a good like message of grace, I think, for all of us too. Like, right? Like, I am getting a lot more open to that as I age, I guess, where I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Today's not the day that this is going to happen for me. I'm gonna try that again tomorrow. So, yeah. And maybe it's my thoroughbred that helped teach me that, you know, of like, slow down, try it again tomorrow. And today's not the day. So I love that. That's not a question. That's just my observation.
Yeah, I find it interesting because I personally feel like the thoroughbreds are really good communicators, and that can be a turnoff for some people. But truthfully, like, I think it makes it easier at the end of the day.
I just know a lot of like trainers in my industry, we work with big warm bloods that don't really have a lot to say. So that's kind of why they don't choose the thoroughbreds. But it's gotten me back into like wanting to be around horses and loving horses itself instead of just being that competitive spirit. And that's kind of why I started my own business anyways, because I didn't want to, you know, people get burnt out so easily in this industry. So I got back to loving horses and they're, you know, listening to them. And it's just relearning how to love this sport.
That makes me emotional. I'm so happy for you. You say that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when I got my off the track thoroughbred, I went through a very similar thing. Like, I was so done with horses. I grew up with Arabians, my parents had them. And yeah, there was something about retraining her that does it, like, reignited a spark for me too. And now I run a horse podcast and I'm horse obsessed again, and I'm doing lessons and all those things. Like, everything I was so quickly ready to write off because I was so burned out. Amazing. Well, tell us a little bit more about, and Sarah, I'm going to point this question to you. What type of adopters are you looking for these horses, and how can people get involved to support Blue Dahlia?
So the type of people I'm looking for are just, I think really I turn that back onto the horses, and like I'll use Goldini, for example. That one is going to be pretty suitable for an amateur working with a trainer who has maybe never done a restart before, worked with a thoroughbred. Like, he's pretty forgiving. So, you know, people that are just, you know, willing to work with us in our program to stay communicating with us throughout the process. And so we make sure it's a good fit. But really, I think it goes back to the horses, whatever they need. And Merlin, she's going to need somebody with a little more experience. So I will be pretty protective of her and make sure that it's a good fit for her when we find her at home. So really, I think we're open to anyone who wants to adopt a horse, but I will be very strategic about where they go and make sure that it's a good fit for both. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't do anyone any good to bring a horse home that they're going to be miserable with because it's just not a good fit for them either. So, I think it really just depends on the horse and the individual, and we'll just go through the vetting process and make sure it's a good fit. One of the other things that Haley and I have been working on and that I've been working with my board on is a program where we can provide some additional training. So our horses will come with a training package to one of our training partners or Haley specifically. And that way then we can help assist with that transition, because anytime you move a horse, it can be a little bit stressful. And even though we may have some really good rides at the farm where they're getting to meet the horse, I would hate for somebody to take a horse home and then all of a sudden feel like they're on their own and they don't have the support. So, you know, they can continue to work with Haley, or we've got a couple other partner trainers out of state and in the area and other disciplines that I can connect them with and then provide that initial support as they're getting started. So I'm hopeful that program through Blue Dahlia will really help make the adoption successful.
I really like that, because I mean, like when I worked at RRP, so much of our work was spent, trying to educate the equestrian industry. Cause I think like there's two ways you can swing the pendulum, right? You can say like thoroughbreds, those are great horses. There's a thoroughbred for everyone. Like, you just got to find the right one. And then you can swing it, you know, like swing it too far to like anybody can adopt a thoroughbred, which is maybe not necessarily the case, or you have to be really careful in the pairings that you make. And I love that you have, you know, this education based kind of like pairing and system set up. I think that's so valuable, because I do think it does the breed a disservice if we, you know, paint them as a little too easy.
Right.
Right. Like, right. I think we know, right? Like, and that's one of the reasons that we're drawn to this breed, is because they're sensitive and they can be a little challenging. And that's not a reason not to get involved, but it's definitely a reason to go in with your eyes wide open. So I love that is part of your program and that's a consideration. I think that's super smart.
Yeah.
And sets you apart. So very cool.
Yes. Well, thank you. Exactly. And then in terms of support, as we're getting started, I'm finding that a lot of grant funding and a lot of other like money available to thoroughbred aftercare really isn't available to startups. So they really want to see a couple years in existence, and they want to see actually quite a few horses in your program. And what I don't want to do is just take on a ton of horses and not be able to really responsibly support them in a transition to a new home. So right now, what Haley and I have been doing is coming up with creative educational workshops at the farm, so that we're really not going out and just asking donors for money, but we can provide a combined experience of both education, fun, horse community, and also support funding Blue Dahlia. So we've got, like this week, Haley and I have put together a equine trivia night in the barn. So we've got Dr. Ashley Alberts coming in and facilitating the trivia night. So we're going to use that as like an event workshop to support some of the funding for Blue Dahlia.
I love it. I think it's so innovative to offer workshops for people to participate rather than, I mean, grassroots funding, there's nothing wrong with it. It's important. But if you're just getting started out, it's a really good way for people to come meet you, meet the horses, and really see what you're trying to do while also getting something in return. So I think that's really smart on your end. I'm really excited to push this out and see what listeners, we have a lot of listeners in Michigan and Ohio and Indiana. So who knows, there might be a future adopter of both these horses listening right now. So we're really thrilled that you're getting started, taking on this work and being a part of helping to spread the good word of everything you're doing. Where can people find more information on Blue Dahlia?
So I've got a website, bluedahliaequine.org. We also have social media. It's also at Blue Dahlia Equine that you can find on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, my contact information is on the website as well. So I'm absolutely open to any questions, or even if other nonprofits or individuals have recommendations for us, I'm absolutely open to that and continuing to network as we're launching this year.
Amazing. And Haley, where can people find more about your business?
I also have, Facebook and Instagram. It's Breckenridge Farms. It's the one in Leonard. I know there's one somewhere else in Michigan. And then my website is breckenridge-farms.com.
Well, thank you both so much for joining. We will make sure to share this with our listeners so they can contact you and learn more and continue to follow Blue Dahlia Equine and all the fun things at Breckenridge. Because Haley, I do want to applaud you. You celebrate your students so, so well. It is such a good community you're building there. And all of that positive energy definitely gets transposed to the horses who are there, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, we have with us the fabulous Bridget from the Standardbred side of New Vocations. Bridget, welcome back to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Hello, hello.
We always say Standardbred side, but Rick, really, you have a makeover horse this year? Because you do it all.
I do. I do have a makeover horse this year. This year, I have one makeover horse, not three. Three was too many. Not doing that again. One makeover horse.
Oh, lovely. What have you got for us this year? I say us. I won't see you in October. I'm staying home this year.
That makes me sad. Maybe I'll see you at a horse show between now and then. But I do have another lovely ranch prospect, another mare, because people should not be afraid of mares. Mares are great.
Amen. Louder for the back.
She's very, very nice. Amanda Vance in New York always sends me my RRP horses, and she always picks out the most amazing horses for me. And this one is no exception. She's going to be lovely. I'm very excited to get her out and start showing her next month.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because I remember you've mentioned that. I mean, gosh, we've had you on for a couple of years now, and I remember every year you're like, yeah, Amanda Vance picks my horse for me. And I was like, I love this like interconnected web of New Vocations trainers, like looking out for each other.
Yeah, awesome. I tell her what I like in a ranch prospect, and she's like, hey, I have your horse for this year. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's send it over. Sometimes I don't even like see a picture of them before they come.
It just arrives. You're like, I guess this is mine.
Please support this behavior.
Yeah, this is great. I love it. Cool. Yeah. Well, best of luck. We'll see how that journey is going as the year progresses. But first we want to talk about some standardbred stuff. And actually, I think this question could really apply to any horse. It doesn't even have to be retired racehorses. It could be any horse that anyone is getting. But I was thinking about this because I was thinking about Wes, my standardbred, who, you know, when I got him, I think he was 18 and he's 22 now. So that, I think that timeline tracks. And when I got him, I was just like, oh, this is just like a cute kind of older gentleman. Like I have zero goals, like, you know, zero expectations for this animal. Like ideally I'll trail ride him around and, you know, bomb around the pasture and have a good time. And that's exactly what he's been. He's been a delight, you know, and then he actually progressed relatively quickly. So I was like, oh, well, cool. Like, let's just see what else we can do. We showed him a little bit. You know, in an ideal world, I would get him neck reining a little bit better so that we could do more work with the cows. You know, I could rope a little bit more, work a gate. And just neck reining just seems like a thing that, like, he is just not going to master at this point in his life. He's now 22 and he's like, this is not for me. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. We'll fake it with two hands. Like, I'm not opposed because I didn't have big goals. I didn't have big ambitions. Like, whatever. He's 22. I'm 37. Together, we're quite old. And we just don't want to, you know, waste time kind of forcing him to do things he doesn't want to do. You know, but that's me. And not, like, realistically, not every rider is going to come at it the same way. You know, like, some people do have competition goals and ambitions, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, horses are here to, you know, be a partner for adventures like that. So when someone comes to you to adopt a horse and they have, you know, pretty clear goals, like, what kind of process does New Vocations go through to kind of figure out, like, this horse, you know, like, we know, but, like, the soundness is a big one, right? Like, you guys do a very thorough vet evaluation, but for all those other things that you can't really get, you know, the vet's stamp for, how do you evaluate what horse might have, you know, what it takes to go through and up the levels in something, and what horse might be suited more towards bombing around the pasture with me?
Right. So I, you know, this is where I take my background in a diversity of equine events, because of course I grew up showing hunter jumper horses as well as reining and ranch horses. And obviously very, very different animals. And then getting to work with trainers that ride gated horses or dressage horses or eventers or whatever the case may be, and kind of get a feel for what do they like when they're riding something, so that when I'm riding it, I can kind of think to myself, boy, this horse is stiff as a board, and I don't know that it's ever going to want to hear me as I shift my body. You know, I'm half falling off the side, and it hasn't moved over underneath my my weight at all at this point. Maybe this is not the up-and-coming Western horse that I might have hoped it would be, but I bet that would make a lovely trail partner for somebody that isn't super stable in the saddle, and the horse isn't going to, you know, shift sideways every time they shift their body. What is nice and feely for maybe me as a ranch horse would be very bad for somebody that just wanted to trail ride, or somebody that wanted to give lessons on a horse that might have some more unbalanced riders, and you don't want them to shift every time that rider shifts. Or if I want something to carry itself like a ranch horse and the horse is sort of more animated and uphill in the front, perhaps that would be better suited for, you know, some of our gated type riders that want that that action and that animation that you see up front. And just trying to get an idea. And of course, I'm not right every single time. Certainly, there's times where people take a horse and I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know that that's what it wants its job to be. And it turns out to be just fine. But I love when adopters ask me questions about, you know, does this horse move a certain way? Does it want to carry itself low? Does it want to carry itself high? You know, more than just the basic, is it forward? Is it lazy? Because those two things don't necessarily translate to specific showing events the same as other types of movement or reactivity do.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, that this is like, this is based on a huge range, you know, of experiences that you've had, which I think is a really good plug for New Vocations too. Like, you know, all the trainers across the network have such a wide range of backgrounds. And I think it's also a really good argument, you know, for really not being afraid to ask questions, right? Like, if, especially if you have goals.
Right.
You know, it's like a little bit like when you buy a car, right? Like, I am so annoying when I buy a truck because I want to know all these things that generally the salesman can't tell me because they're just a salesman, right? About, like, how does the truck perform with a big load and does it need a stabilizer, blah, blah, blah. And they're like,
And he's like, I'll give you $1,000 off to stop asking me questions.
Like, leave me alone, right? But, like, that's, you know, like, if, for a lot of us, like, we don't have money to just keep getting more horses, right? Like, it might be kind of like a one-shot deal to get the right partner. So, yeah, I think, you know, if you have specific goals, whether those are big, ambitious, like, show ring goals or even just, you know, ride at home but feel safe and supported by your horse goals, like, yeah, it's definitely not ever a bad thing to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, and to
she says, like, as someone who absolutely just picks horses on vibes, like, that's my weakness.
Yeah. I mean, but if you, you know, those people that are riding that are thinking about adopting, you know, as you think about adopting a horse and the kind of questions you want to ask to the trainers, think about the horses that you're currently riding or competing and what it is about the way that they move or behave or react to you that is a positive to you. More often than not, I get people that are like, I don't want something jumpy or I don't want something fast. But tell me what you do like about the way that your current horse or horses you've ridden in the past do things, because that can help me just as much as what you don't want to have in a horse.
That also just feels like a more positive way to look at your relationship with horses too, right? Like,
well, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was like, ooh, that might say a lot about the personality of the person looking for the horse, right? Like, right. You know, like, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this. Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you like about the horse that you have now?
Right, or what, yeah, what, and not, what do you think you would like, but like, actual lived riding experiences, what have been the things that that you enjoy the most about what it is that you're riding or doing, and so that we can kind of try to find a horse that fits those criteria? Because something I like in a horse for me as a ranch horse or a hunter horse or whatever the case may be, you might hate it. That may not be what you like in that type of horse at all. And my selection of of a horse for you might not be a good fit then, if you don't tell me what it is that you do like in the way that your horse responds and reacts to you.
Love that. I feel like we covered like a ton of ground in the past like 6 minutes. Like, I don't remember where we started with this question, but this has been like a really cool conversation just about, you know, selecting horses and being realistic about goals and stuff. And this has me thinking too of like, you know, because I think I'm getting closer to the time where I might be, you know, looking at adding another horse to the herd, you know, sometime in the next couple of years. And I'm like already thinking like, how do I want to do this? Like, I don't know. So yeah, this has been interesting. Now Bridget's like, ooh, add a horse to the herd. Yeah. Transitions beautifully.
I'm only going to support it.
Right. So yeah, with that kind of layup, tell us about tonight's adoptable horse, which you gave us the barest preview before we hit the recorders, and Joy and I both laughed out loud.
Yes, so his name is 100 Poof. I know, and everybody's like, Poof, not Proof. I'm like, yes, his name is 100 Poof. His mother's name was Poof, she's gone. And her father's name was Kadabra. So that's where this whole line of thinking comes from.
What a brilliant family.
And he is as goofy as his name would imply. He's just a very silly guy. He is a trotter, and he's by the incomparable Muscle Hill, who has just sired many a spectacular trotting horse. And he did a pretty good job in his racing career until he did a minor suspensory injury, and then they just decided to go ahead and send him to new vocations. And he has adapted well to riding, but every ride is an adventure with him, because he knows he's very silly. And so you'll be riding along and you'll get noodle neck for a minute, and then you'll go back to the task at hand. And if you're not familiar with standard bred noodle neck, I'm not even sure how to begin to describe it. They can move their heads and necks in ways that you just don't think horses should be able to do.
They get like that, like no bones kind of thing going on. And you're like, oh,
there are no bones.
Oh, and then the bones come back and you're like, oh, okay.
Yes. And so he is going to be a fabulous horse for somebody that has a little bit of a sense of humor, and likes developing a young horse into something. I'm not entirely sure what he wants to do with his life when he grows up right now, but he does really enjoy his people time. He is a little bit of an overgrown Labrador in a horse costume. But he just thinks he's very funny with riding right now, and he will enjoy somebody that also thinks he's very funny.
God, please say less. Like,
He's definitely a favorite in the barn, and somebody is really, really going to have quite the partner with him once they decide what they want to do.
Oh, I love that. All right. Well, like we're getting like a super sneak preview because we're recording so far ahead. So he'll be on the website by the time this episode drops. And Joy and I can't wait to like take a look at him and watch his videos and see what kind of animal inspires the name 100 Poof, because that's the best part of him.
I mean, yes. Like, how do you not have fun in the barn? There's so many options for his barn name.
Yes.
Like, what do you guys call him?
We just call him Poof. Perfect. Right now.
Can you imagine? Imagine if you're like, his name's 100 Poof and he's the most serious horse we've ever had. Like, that just wouldn't work, right?
It wouldn't work.
I don't know what we would do with him. Yeah, I don't think we could. I don't think we could do that. But fortunately for us, he is not serious. He's very silly and just delightful.
I just feel like as a millennial, I'd want to name him Cosmo, like from Fairly Odd Parents.
Yes.
That would be his bar name is Cosmo.
That well, is there you excellent. Go, Joy. You can take him home.
All right. Whoever brings him home and names him that, I want $5 for my royalties.
Well, Bridget, remind the good people where they can find all of the great adoptable horses from New Vocations.
You can find all our lovely horses at horseadoption.com or newvocations.org. It will take you to the same place. If you don't have an application in, but you eyeball these beautiful horses all the time and think maybe you'd like to do that in the next couple of years, get one in, because horses do tend to go fast, but we always, always have wonderful horses up and coming.
Love it. I feel like I just got personally called out because I don't have my application in yet. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Adding it to my to-do list right now. Thanks very much, Bridget.
You are welcome.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is Kristen at horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and HRN, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, as it helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.